Good old Herm Edwards gave us a clip for the ages there, going off on the New York media, as coaches up there tend to do, play to win the game. And then I can say that, he can say that, and you can ask yourself, well, that's great, we're in church, what does that have to do with us? How do we play to win? What am I talking about? What does that have to do with those of us that are still left in here? Since everybody else is gone. Because we've got a wide range of people in here now. With our parents gone, we basically have our youth that aren't helping. We've got singles. We've got younger couples that don't have kids. We've got older couples whose kids are grown and gone. We've got grandparents. Yes. Somebody's happy. So what game am I talking about? The game of life. And what are we going to try and win? Well, we're going to try and win God's kingdom. And how do we do that? Well, I told Sean I had to use a bad word today, so here it is. Responsibility. I know, it's the R word. Sorry, I had to do it. Responsibility. We are responsible for what happens to all those kids back there in the back right now, and their families, their parents. We're responsible for them. Because they may be their own nuclear family, but we're all God's family. And we're all responsible for what happens to everybody else. And so, what are they doing back there? Like Corinne was saying, they're getting basically tools, things to help them. They're building a foundation. You ever seen an old, abandoned, way old, abandoned house? Like 50, 60 years old. The grass is as tall as you are. You might see a beam of wood. There's nothing left to show that the house ever existed or any structure of any kind. Anybody ever seen anything like that? Yeah, they're around. What about a construction site? Completely different. Like this one. I know it's hard to gauge from the picture. I don't think there's a laser on here, but there's some big bulldozers down there in that hole. There's one. That's a pretty tall crane. This is all from World Trade Center pictures. There's a guy down here in the right-hand corner, kind of give you some perception of how deep that hole is. There's a lot of people putting in the Freedom Tower there in the center. If you asked all those construction guys what that hole meant, is they could tell you that you could tell how tall a building was going to be by the depth of the foundation. And that's just like us. If we're like that old abandoned house and we have no foundation, then eventually there'll be no memory of our existence, no legacy to leave behind. But the deeper that our foundation is, the deeper and more solid it is, the higher we can go. So they're learning about how to bless one another, how to study their Bible, communion, baptism, all of those things. And that's all important. But we have to understand that what's going on back there is not the end. Because we are a never-ending construction. We don't stop. Our foundation is always being built. That day you say, well, that's it. I've pounded in the last nail of me. Well, that's the day you're going to meet Jesus. Because every day, your foundation can build or it can crumble. You're always under construction. So, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So now it's our responsibility. I'm talking about being responsible for them, but before we can do that, we have to be responsible for ourselves. Our input is equal to our output. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you reading? If you're pumping into your mind the pure, the clean, powerful, the positive, then out is going to come the pure, the clean, the powerful, and the positive. So the foundation isn't just built by what's going on back there. The foundation is built by everything that we do. It's built by faith, love, loyalty, character, integrity, honesty, commitment, persistence, perseverance. All of those things go into our character and our foundation. What does that mean? Well, it means we've got choices to make. Here's my second bad word of the day: consequences. And that's the reaction I get all the time, even when I have to talk to kids at school about that. That consequence, that's a bad word. No, it isn't. It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything good or bad. It just means it's a reaction to a choice. So you can have good choices. You're going to have good consequences. It doesn't have to have a negative connotation. It can be a good word. So our youth, especially here coming up at the end of May, if they make the good choice of studying, then they'll have the good consequence of getting good grades on their final exams. Are they paying attention? I've been running. A lot of y'all know that. Helped me lose some weight. And then, you know, I've got leftover candy from our track concession stand in my classroom, and I keep accidentally eating these Snickers bars. Complete accident. It just falls in there, and now I'm not really losing the... Yeah, I made a choice to eat the Snickers bar. It's so good. But the consequence of that is, you know, not losing the weight like I wanted to lose a little bit. Pick on smokers for a second, just because. I know, I'm sorry. I saw a study said that each cigarette can lower your lifespan by 14 minutes. Okay, I know it's addictive. I know it's hard to quit. But that's a consequence of the choice. Sometime way, way back, made a choice to try it, made a choice to try it again, so on and so forth. I had friends in college did that. Oh, I only smoke when I drink. Okay. Well, I only smoke when I drink and after dinner. Okay. Well, I only smoke when I drink and after dinner and in between meals, and so on and so forth, and you know how that goes. So there's consequences of that, all kinds of consequences. Everybody knows, commercials all over TV. The point is, there's a choice, it's a consequence. Some of you be familiar with Zig Ziglar. He was a motivational speaker. He told a story of a kid that walked into an ice cream parlor. And he said the kid looked like the warden gave the reprieve right after they plugged the chair in. Hair was sticking all up all over the place, hairs in all kinds of colors. And that's the beauty of America. So what? He has the right to do that. He's more than welcome to do that. Good for him. But, consequence, he's limiting people that might employ him. Okay? So something as simple as that. Just have to understand that we have those choices and they all have consequences, good or bad. So, if we're going to talk about our foundation, we all have foundational choices to make. And those foundational choices have been from the beginning. Adam and Eve had to make a choice about that fruit. Noah had to make a choice. Did he really want to build a big boat? Moses had to make a choice after he saw the burning bush. Granted, that was probably pretty easy when a bush is on fire and doesn't burn. That's probably a pretty simple choice, but he still had to make the choice. David had to make a choice when he saw Bathsheba. Joseph had to make a choice when he found out Mary was pregnant. The disciples had to make a choice when Jesus and all his
different ways to all the different ones, said, follow me. They had to make that choice. Jesus made a choice. So what's our choice? What's our foundational choice that we need to make? Be responsible to live. Well, that seems silly. Of course I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm sitting here. You're right. Be responsible to live. What does that mean? Well, Theodore Roosevelt said, he was asked what his greatest desire was, and he said, to live until I die. What does he mean? Let's take a look at that. There was a great French scientist. He was a naturalist. His name was, say this French-like, Jean-Henri Fabre. He was an entomologist and a Catholic. There's two things you don't see going together, science and religion. Just to help you understand who he was a little bit, he was quoted as saying, after 87 years of thought and observation, I say not merely that I believe in God, I can even say that I see him. He's a very interesting character to look up and see some of the experiments that he did and how it didn't turn him away from God, it turned him towards God's creation and the amazing wonders of what he did. In fact, there was one, which is a little off topic, but about how spiders have been making their webs exactly the same since the beginning of time. No evolution has changed anything about the way a spider makes a web. They've always done that because, unlike man, they don't have creativity. They just exist and do their job, and that's it. They don't create. We've gone from making tools and making structures with rocks and sticks to power tools and bulldozers. Anyway, he did an unusual experiment with some caterpillars, and they were called processionary caterpillars. And the reason they're called processionary caterpillars is because they'll walk in a line, and they'll just follow the lead caterpillar. They'll just line up head to tail, and they'll follow each other around. So processionary caterpillars. Well, he took an experiment, where he put the caterpillars on the rim of a flower pot in a complete circle, lined them up all the way around, so the lead one and the tail one all came around in this circle around the flower pot. And in the middle of the flower pot, he put a whole bunch of pine needles, which is what processionary caterpillars eat. Well, they're all lined up in a line following the caterpillar in front of them, and they walked around the rim of that flower pot hour after hour, day after day, night after night, 7 days, 7 nights, they walked around the rim of this flower pot. And then they died from starvation and exhaustion. But right there, not 6 inches away from all those caterpillars, was their food. Their life was right there. That's okay. I know Jordan liked that story. Many of us go through life just like those caterpillars. There's life 6 inches away, right there. And we just follow the other caterpillars around our day. Our kids go to school because that's what they did yesterday. They go to their English class second period because it's on their schedule. We go to work because I have to go to work today. Is it 5 o'clock yet? Just like the caterpillars. We go to church today because we came last week. It's what we do. Stop following the other caterpillars. Life's right there. Don't be a follower. Go to your class with a purpose. Learn something. Go to work with a purpose. Accomplish something. Go to church with a purpose. Believe something. Break out of the cocoon and live and eat the pine needles. Life's right there. Stop missing it. So play to win the game. That means you have to do everything possible to be successful. You don't just play to play. Don't just go to class for attendance. Yeah, I was there. Stayed awake. Don't just teach to teach. Secretaries, don't file papers just to file papers. Don't just sing to sing. Play to play. Don't just pray to pray and check a box. Do everything you can to be successful. Because at the end of the day, if I asked every single one of you to give me your definition of failure, you would all basically give me the same exact definition, because we all define failure the same way. What does it mean to fail? Well, that means it was an inability to reach whatever my objective was. So I failed. But what is success? Everybody defines that different. Because some people define success like the caterpillars. Well, I went to work today. I was there. I checked the box. I didn't get fired, so it was a good day. I went to class. I even turned in my work. I passed. Or do you define success by showing up, doing your best? Because it all comes down to effort. What effort are you putting in to life? Now listen, not everything that we do is going to turn out as a win. That's the way things go. But every day can be approached with the effort of, I'm going to win today. So we need to do everything within our power, physically, mentally, legally, ethically, to win every day that we play this game of life. Once you do that, it really doesn't matter what your friends say, your report card says, your paycheck says. You were successful. There's two things you can control in your life: your attitude and your effort. Everything else is variable. But you can always have a positive attitude. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Have a good attitude and our effort. You don't have to go through the motions. Put effort into what you do. Are you the type of student that you would want to have if you were a teacher? Are you the type of employee that you would want to have if you were the boss? Put effort into what you do. Become responsible for yourself. Because then, when you're responsible for yourself, then you can be responsible for others and those families in the back that need help. But it starts with us. I've got a poem. It's by Will Allen Dromgoole, because I think it speaks to our need to be responsible to others after we've learned how to be responsible for ourselves. It's titled The Bridge Builder. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm, vast, wide, and steep, with waters rolling, cold, and deep. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you are wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. this chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth, may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for choices and consequences and the freedom to make those choices. Help us make good ones. There are so many examples in the Bible of good choices to follow and bad choices to learn from. Help us not to repeat mistakes. Learn from them. That's all we can do with a mistake is learn from it. Don't repeat it. Father, we're asking for your help. Every day, every morning we wake up, we are faced with a choice of how we want to approach that day. Help us to approach it with a rejoiceful heart. Help us to approach it with the effort of wanting to win for you. You said we're supposed to do everything as if we're doing it for you, so help us do our homework for you. Help us do our jobs for you. Help us love our grandkids for you. Help us love these families around us for you. Guide us. Show us the way. Ask this in your son's name. Amen. Thanks. All right, I have no idea how I'm doing on time. I'm sure I went way too fast. But we do have something else we're going to do today anyway, so that's okay. Up here in the front, you may have noticed, we have these trees, and they've got leaves on them, and they're green because it's spring, which is fantastic. And on these leaves are the names of all the kids that we have back in Roots. And we're asking you to be responsible for something this year. We're going to ask, and Robert's going to start playing in just a minute, that you come up and pick a name. You don't have to know who it is. All it says is their first name anyway. But it's all the kids we've got back there from one day old to fifth grade. So we're going to ask you to come up, get a name, and pray for that child for a year. Because we're going to do this again next year and pick somebody else. But we know the power of prayer. So we're going to ask that as a church, we pray for those kids because they're important. So that's all really all I have to say about that. But when you come back, when you get a name, go back to your seat. Like I said, Robert's going to be playing. Go ahead and start. Just let God lead you in how you should pray for that child and start today. We have to be responsible for ourselves. Be responsible for them. Let's start by being responsible for them through prayer. Make sure that we have enough. If we could just start with one per family, that would be good, instead of per person, just to make sure we've got everybody. So, just saying. If there's extras, then please come up. Let's just make sure we get all the families to get one first. Thanks. Thank you. there's extras, Brad. Got a couple more. Sure don't want to leave anybody behind. That's right. No child left behind.